I'm Brian. I work at UnitedHealthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in UnitedHealthcare.
I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties.
I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, let's get right to it. Big news down in Jupiter, Florida today. Oliver Marmol, Cardinals manager, has been extended through 2028 with a club option for 2029. Good to be with you. Producer Drew Young, I'm Tom Ackerman. Let's head down to Jupiter now and hear this press conference, starting with the Cardinals head of communications, Brian Bartow.
Well, good morning. March 1st, 26 short days on opening day at Busch Stadium. Sounds pretty good. Well, to get us started, to get the month underway, get the day underway, we'll turn over to Cardinals Chairman, Mr. Bill DeWitt Jr., for a special announcement on behalf of the ball club.
Thanks, Brian. I'm very pleased to announce that Ollie has agreed to a two-year contract extension with a club option for 2029. This is Ollie's 20th season as a Cardinal, and we are very excited that he will continue in this role. Congratulations to Ollie, and thanks for all your good work. Thank you.
This time, we turn it over to Cardinals President of Baseball Ops, Chaim Bloom.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for being with us, both our good friends in the press, our staff, our players. Just to say a few words about today and about Ollie. Obviously, over the past couple of years, the uniqueness of my roles here and the progression of this seat has given me a chance to get to know Ollie before working with him in this capacity, and then obviously now working with him for a few months. And you know, as Bill mentioned, this is Ollie's 20th season as a Cardinal. He understands what makes this organization special. He is a Cardinal through and through, and he understands that a part of that, a part of what makes this organization great, is competing relentlessly and always pushing to move forward and to set new standards. And the passion with which he goes after that is energizing and fun to be around every day. He's invested in what we're doing to get from where we are to where we want to go, invested in the progress of this core that we are building, and also invested in making everybody around him better and in being willing to push and challenge himself to grow and evolve. And in that respect, exemplifying exactly what we need to be about and exactly what we want everybody in this organization to do. So I'm very pleased to be able to announce this today. Pleased to continue to work with Ollie. Happy that Ollie and his family, Amber and their girls, are going to remain a part of the Cardinals family. And thankful to everybody here who has also invested in Ollie and made this day something that we can celebrate. So congrats, and excited to keep working with you, buddy.
Appreciate it. I definitely want to start off by thanking you, Bill and Haim, for the trust. I mean, I don't take that lightly. Yes, it's 20 years, but this one was unique, and the foundation of it truly is trust. I think that word gets thrown around quite a bit in today's world, but all good relationships are based off of it. Good decisions are based off of it. And I'm glad I had the last couple of years to start to build that with Haim in order to get to this point. Because at the end of the day, like, when there's transition like this, alignment matters a lot. And I can say with 100% certainty, there's a ton of trust and alignment in what we're doing. There's alignment in how we see the game. There's alignment in how we view the staff and just people and process. And that's the part that gets me excited, man. I do want to take a second. I spoke to the staff earlier before coming out here, but you guys are awesome, and you make this fun. 162 is an absolute grind, and I enjoyed doing this with this group, so thank you. A big part of me wanting to stay here and do this is sitting in this room, and I appreciate you guys, the players, being here, and I'm speaking to you. Man, like, being able to grow with you is what fires me up. Seeing some of you guys, the young guys, actually stepping into leadership roles and owning that clubhouse and taking that next step in your career and being able to do it together, like, I want to grow with you and I want to win with you, and we'll do that together. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to, so I appreciate you being in the room. And then family, Amber and the girls, like, I appreciate you guys continuing to be by my side through this whole thing. Twitter is ruthless, and you guys never waver, man. You guys are awesome at just understanding the sacrifices that come with this, so I just want to take a moment and thank you guys. The girls have probably learned some words along the ways we could have held off on, but thank you guys. Okay. But to this room, to ownership, to Haim, you guys are awesome. I'm looking forward to what's next, so thank you very much.
That's Ollie Marmol, opening statement today, along with Chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. and President of Baseball Operations Haim Bloom. 2-year contract extension begins next year, runs through 2028. There is a club option for 2029. He had his family, his team in the room as well. A lot of the players and staff came in to attend that press conference down in Jupiter. Thanks to Matt Pauley for feeding us the audio. When we come back, we'll visit with Bernie Miklas, get his reaction to this contract extension for the Cardinals manager. Back in a moment, sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, let's bring in Bernie Miklas for this discussion on Ollie Marmol's contract extension. The big dog joins us, as always, on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Glad we brought you in a little early to line up with this. Camo X has been all over this today. 2-year contract extension through 28. How are you, Bern?
I'm doing good. And, totally expected. No surprise to people that were paying attention. You could tell that Ollie Marmol and Haim Bloom had formed a really, really strong bond. For people who don't know, I've reported this multiple times. The DeWitts went to Haim Bloom and they said, look, you're taking this thing over and you deserve to bring in whoever you feel you have to bring in. That includes the manager. And Haim Bloom said, oh, no, I've been observing him for 2 years and I'm really impressed what he's been able to squeeze out of a team that's got some serious challenges and we work well together. No, I want to keep Ollie. So I think there's a lot here. I don't have time today with you to talk about it because you don't have enough time. But Ollie Marmol, given the circumstances that he's been put in, has actually done a good job. Now, I'm not claiming he's done a perfect job. I've criticized Ollie, but if you the decline, the collapse of the farm system, how they were not producing enough major league starting pitching. A lot of their position players came to the major leagues as rookies or young players and weren't really properly taught in the minor leagues. And you also had a situation where he became the manager at a time where the Cardinals were about to start to slash payroll. And he was working for John Mozeliak. And my point is not to take cheap shots at John Mozeliak, but we all knew that the Cardinals really started to unravel in Mo's final seasons. So as I've always, I'm always confused by people who somehow believe this was Ollie Marmol's fault. I mean, he took over at a time that was not really good time, to put it mildly, not a good time to be managing the St. Louis Cardinals. And as I've said so many times, and it's always ignored, you look at the first 4 years of Tony La Russa as the manager of the Cardinals, and you compare it to Ollie Marmol's first 4 years as the manager of the Cardinals. Ollie Marmol has more wins in his first four years than Tony had in his first 4 years. They both made the playoffs the same amount of times, won, and they both had two losing seasons. But out there in social media land, of course, somehow it's been concluded among a lot of people that Ollie Marmol's terrible and he's everything that's wrong with the Cardinals. I don't get it. The facts say otherwise, actually.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and rip on the Cardinal fan base, because I know that there are a lot of different kinds of Cardinals fans. There are ones who are vocal on social media. There are some who understand this. There are some who don't understand this and are good people. I mean, I have had a lot of my friends text me and be like, why are they doing this? So let me just say what you just said in a slightly different way. Chaim Bloom could have fired Ollie Marmol if he wanted to. Okay.
Of course.
And John Mozeliak hired Ollie. As you just said, these are two separate things. Chaim saw something, and there is an alignment and trust. Those are the words you're seeing, hearing thrown around. You're going to hear those a lot, but it's absolutely true. There is something. This is a Chaim Bloom's decision. Then you're going to have to trust it. That there's something in Ollie Marmol that he sees in this development stage, because Bernie, this is a club option for 29. So you're looking at a 2 year probably project here developing this team, and there is no better fit. Bernie, he could have brought in anybody he wanted to. I mean, and you don't think Chaim Bloom knows pretty much everybody in this game today? Period. End of story.
Exactly. And I think it says a lot about Chaim Bloom's personal character. Because when he took the job, at the time that he took the job in advance, you know, where he was sort of the president of baseball operations in waiting, let's be perfectly honest here. He wasn't well known in St. Louis, and I don't expect that he would have been well known in St. Louis. I mean, he ran teams in the American League. He just wasn't on the St. Louis radar. So when he got the job as like the president of baseball operations in waiting, you know, there was a kind of like, well, I'm not, I need to find out more about this guy type thing. We don't know him. And again, I understand that totally. But, you know, there was a lot of talk. And listen, I did some videos at STL Sports Central, because I'll be totally honest here. I didn't think that Ollie Marmol would survive, because I just assumed the way it works in this game is a new guy, a new boss comes in, and he's going to want to bring in his own guy, or he's going to want to make a clean break and start fresh. And so I was out there, and I would do the same thing all over again, because what I knew at the time, there was very highly questionable whether Ollie Marmol would survive. So you start looking at, well, would they ever think about Albert Pujols? Would they ever think about Yadier Molina? Or would Chaim Bloom hire his own guy, but it's maybe a manager or a young guy that's about to become a manager that no one's ever heard of? So I was even entertaining the possibilities. Okay, well, who could succeed Ollie Marmol? And the fact that, you know, he could have scored points with probably the DeWitts, and he certainly could have scored points with a lot of Cardinals fans. I don't know how many, by either picking, you know, Pujols and Molina, because it would have been something that would have, you know, stirred and spurred and sparked ticket sales. It could have been done to boost business in a major way. Well, he didn't do that. And then the fans would have loved him. Oh, first move, he brings in Albert. You know, first move, he brings in Yachty. A first move, he brings them both in together. He didn't do that. And I think it says, it reveals a lot about his character. You know, he did what he thought was absolutely the right thing to do. He didn't make the cheap play to score points and boost his own popularity and also get his owners to like him even more by boosting ticket sales. He went with what he thought was best, entering a rebuild, and the manager to do that. And he had 2 years just about to observe the way Marmol works with young players, the way he ran a bullpen, the way he communicates, what the players feel about him, the veterans, the young guys, whomever. And he just said, you know, this guy's good. I like what I see. Plus they have, you know this, Tom, everybody should know this. If you're an organization like the Cardinals, you haven't had a rebuild in more than 30 years. You better have, going into a major rebuild, a teardown and a rebuild, you better have the leader of the front office and the manager of the team have a very, very tight alliance in terms of what's expected, what has to be done, and okay, here's how we're going to do it. You have to have that kind of working relationship, or the risk factor of the whole thing blowing up and being a failed rebuild, the risk factor would go up if you don't have that alliance or that alignment, I should say, between your front office guy who's running it all and the manager.
I'm going to ask you for the reasons why Ollie is still this manager, like his positives, but I want to ask it in this way, if you can. What does Ollie Marmol need to do? This is a fresh start for him too, quite honestly. So what does he need to do to get this team ready for, let's say, 2028 and making a run? Obviously, he needs the talent, and here comes the pipeline and all that. But what do you expect from him? Let's put some expectations on him here as a manager over the next two seasons.
Well, I can't put a number on it as far as like quantifying by win totals. No, what he's got to do, Ollie Marmol is now, and I believe, and I've said this on KMYX, and I've actually said this to Ollie himself. I said, listen, I think you're in the sweet spot as the manager of the Cardinals, because Ollie has always wanted a chance to manage where you have a Bloom type operation where the Cardinals are totally up to date. They're modernized. Chaim Bloom, as we all know, has dramatically upgraded their player development system and everything they need to do better in that. You know, all the things the Cardinals were missing or didn't have, or they were lacking in comparison to teams they were trying to beat, they now have those things in place. Not that everything's going to kick in right away, but just look at one off season and what that did for the farm system. So Ollie Marmol finally has the front office operation that will give the manager and the coaches a totally fair shot to be at their best and to win as many games as they can, because there'd be no excuses. You don't have the tools. The farm system is outdated. We don't have enough instructors down in the minors, blah, blah, blah. So what Ollie's going to have to do, you know, and Ollie's always been a teaching type of manager. I mean, he comes from the George Kissel line. He's a Cardinal his entire life. He loves to teach and he loves to work with young players. So it's his kind of team too. And that's why he's so compatible for this job. But now that Chaim Bloom has done an incredible job in a short time of filling in everything the Cardinals were missing structurally and organizationally, Ollie Marmol over the next couple of years is going to have to show that he can take what he has now, which he did not have before, and can make these young players better and can move this rebuild onto more positive ground, maybe a little sooner than expected. It's all about getting better, and it's all about getting the most out of the young players that you have now and the young players that are on the way.
Our Bernie Miklas visits are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling and by Stewart American Mortgage. Last week, the U.S. won the gold medal minutes before the show. This time, the Cardinals announced a contract extension for Ollie. If this trend continues, I'm just going to put you in the 10-15 slot. Because
I don't mind being a leadoff hitter. I'm not going to bunt as the leadoff man. Yeah. I'm going to take big swings usually, you know. So
that's right. Anyway. No, I love the timing of this for our purposes here on the air so we can stay on top of this. Bernie, you're the best. Have an awesome Sunday, my friend.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Appreciate you. Bernie Miklas with us on KMOX to analyze the big news today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, boy, the Billikens roared back, didn't they, in the second half yesterday? What a night that was at Chaffetz Arena. Josh Schertz, head coach of SLU, is with us next on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
I'm Spencer, and I work at UnitedHealthcare.
So, Spencer, why do you care?
I care because my daughter, Adeline, has special needs. I am motivated by Adeline, who inspires me every day. I am driven to help families like mine navigate the healthcare system. I'm so blessed to lead an amazing team at UnitedHealthcare focusing on the member experience and making that better. I'm Spencer, and I'm committed to care.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
You know, I think the second half adjustment thing's a little overrated, but I will say that my halftime speeches are maybe the best in the world, and that's what's happening. And my pregame speeches stink.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We welcome in Coach Josh Schertz with his words yesterday after a victory over Duquesne. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. I love that line right there. I think that was well said. You know, everybody always wants to know what you said at halftime, what you say to the team to propel them to victory. The Billikens win the game 91-76. I think, so Troy Robertson and I speculated that this was more tactical, that you found a way to get Robbie Avila free, and he was able to explode in the second half to help your team to victory. Part of it, as you beat Duquesne yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a huge adjustment. I think it was more of, Rob being aggressive, maybe moving Rob around a little more to some off-ball stuff. And then, you know, they went zone, we got him in transition twice. He got loose against the zone twice. And so it was a little bit of a hodgepodge. They moved Rob off the ball some, you know, to get him in some screening actions. But, you know, mostly it's just, you know, the game flow and how the game comes. And, you know, it's a long game. I mean, there's, you know, I said this, you know, there's ebbs and flows in every game. You know, it's rare, not saying it's impossible, but rare that, you know, tip to buzzer, you come out and just, you know, play perfectly and dominate the game and, you know, cruise along and are never challenged. And particularly, you know, when you play really good teams, and Duquesne's a really good team. And they played very, very well, too. Not only are they a good team, they played extremely well. It's imperfect, and you're going to have your moments where you're really, playing at a high level. You're going to get knocked down some, so your ability to kind of absorb that and keep going. But I think, you know, we haven't obviously gotten off to good starts. We have to be better there, you know. And I thought, but you know, in terms of Robbie and halftime, I think it was a, you know, a variety of things all coming together. The zone, losing him in transition some, moving him off the ball some, but all those things together, he was awesome in the second half, obviously.
He was. You talked a lot about physicality in that Dayton game, and coming into this game, Duquesne, and, well, first of all, they're knocking down threes. That Terrence Ginyard, I could watch him all day. He is some player. He is really, really fun to watch. But they were physical, and so you made a pretty quick move there, getting Paul Otieno involved, not to mention Kellen Thames.
Yeah, I mean, Paul's our most physical guy. You know, Dion's physical. He's just small. You know, Paul has a physicality about him. I knew going in we were going to, you know, we had to get Paul more minutes. I do think the physicality piece has been missing for us. We've not been as good in certain areas. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, we're not the most physical team in the world. You know, Robbie's not a physical guy, you know, really outside of, you know, of Paul and Dion and some when Amari's turned up, you know, it's not the most physical group in the world, but we've played with a lot of toughness, and you don't have to be physical to play with, you know, maximum toughness. And I think we have that across the board. You know, we're not the strongest team. We got a lot of skinnier guys. You know, you look at Kellen, you look at Brady, you know, Ish and those guys. Trey's obviously small, but we've got to play with some toughness. But Paul brings a physicality and force we needed. And I thought he was, you know, he was terrific last night, but he also was against Santa Clara. The bigger games, where these teams are bringing out size, that Paul-Robbie lineup's been really good for us, and they were terrific last night. I thought Paul was, you know, Robbie will get a lot of the headlines, deservedly so, but you can make a case that Paul was the most impactful guy to winning for us last night.
Yeah, he was special last night. What do we make of Amari McCautry sitting for the final 20 minutes of this game?
You know, it was just a game decision. You know, I mean, you know, my job's always to do what I think's best for, you know, us to win that particular game. There's no, you know, no hidden message or that's going to be, you know, the case the rest of the way. But, you know, for last night, I felt like, you know, playing the guys we played gave us the best chance to beat Duquesne. And you know, that could be different. Obviously, every game presents its own, you know, it's his own separate entity. So, you know, it doesn't have any bearing on what's going to happen Wednesday night or, you know, or moving forward from there. But certainly, you know, we need more guys playing well. We need more guys playing with force. We need more guys dialed into what we're doing defensively, the level of urgency, the level of physicality, the level of detail, the level of effort we have to play with. And we need guys playing to that on an every possession basis. And if they don't, you know, they won't play. It doesn't matter who it is. We've had guys, you know, maybe a little bit more magnified with Amari, but, you know, Robbie's, you know, had to sit down the stretch of games. I don't think Trey came in the last 13 minutes against VC. I mean, you go down the list. Every guy has had their, you know, Quentin against Davidson. I mean, you could go down the list. Every guy has had their times. They haven't played much, but, you know, and it's not your night every night. But I think Amari will bounce back and be ready to go. And certainly our team is the best version of itself when he's the best version of himself.
I can see that absolutely, and you're absolutely right. There has been a lot of that going on this year, making the decisions. I thought that one of the best plays of the game, actually calls of the game, was from, and he has such a high IQ, and I'm sure Brady knew this, but Ishan Sharma signaling immediately when that ball was rejected, and he went back to retrieve it at midcourt to shoot it because the shot clock was still going. And he drains a near 50-footer. And then if you watch the replay, Sharma is pointing, shoot it. And he lets it go with his dad sitting in the seats. I mean, what an incredible moment that was.
Yeah, it was a huge momentum one. You know, it was a huge momentum shot for us. It was similar to, you know, the one Q made late in the first half. I can't remember what game it was, but to send us into halftime, he drilled one. Maybe it was George Washington, I think it was. And, you know, and so Q sticks that out. That Brady shot was a huge momentum one. You know, 40-34, gets knocked to half court. He gets there and drills a 50-footer half-court shot, basically, to, you know, to cut it back to three and gave us some momentum going to halftime. And, yeah, Ish's intelligence, I've said many times, you know, he's in that Robbie realm, which is, you know, there's not many guys. I've coached 28 years now. You know, not many guys that I've coached, not 10 for sure, that are in that realm of, you know, basketball IQ, but Ish is certainly very much there. And I think Brady, obviously, super intelligent guy as well. They both knew, but that was a really heady play, and it wound up, you know, obviously paying, you know, in that game was a huge part of, I think, giving us some momentum back there late in the half.
Q had a nice game, didn't he?
Q terrific, you know, terrific to play 33 minutes. I thought he got downhill, you know, he got to line 10 times, you know, 17 points, didn't turn the ball over in 33 minutes, which I thought, you know, was really good. His defense was solid. You know, he's like everybody, you know, it's you know, they're learning, and when we're still learning, you know, you have 10 new guys on this team, and you know, Q's come from two situations. You know, he's never been in this. You know, he won 10 games his first 2 years of college combined, you know, five each year. So, you know, he's never been in these circumstances playing meaningful games late. He's really adjusting and acclimating. I thought he was terrific last night. You know, his defense was really good. He took great care of the ball, didn't turn it over. I had to play 33 minutes because of some of the other stuff. And I thought he was awesome. He and Paul were probably underratedly, you know, two huge cogs outside of Robbie in terms of where we were able to get to.
Really, really fun game. And now you sit here at 26-3. You have more league wins than the school has ever had in a conference season. You're 14-2. You still have work to do to lock up the regular season title. And while the buzz will be back about your NCAA tournament chances, based on what I saw a couple of years ago with Indiana State, I don't believe anybody for anything. I mean, I, you know, and I don't know how you feel about it, but moving forward, yep, looking at March, how do you view your situation?
I mean, you know, you just got to concentrate on what's in front of you. You know, like I always say, there's a lot of amateur, you know, bracketologists out there that are, you know, I've heard, you know, we have to win every single game now to get in the tournament. You know, if we lose any of these last two and anything in Pittsburgh, we're out. Somebody said if we, you know, if we lose to Mason and lose in Pittsburgh, we're out. I mean, I don't, you know, I can only read what I read. There's some that are a little better than others. Do I think we're you know, locked into anything yet? No, we gotta, you know, to win the league, we gotta take care of business, you know, on Wednesday night. That's a big thing. We take care of business there. You know, we clinched the number one seed in the regular season championship here in the A-10, which is a obviously a huge accomplishment. If we can do it, we have two chances to do it. Might as well try to take advantage of one at home. In terms of the at-large stuff, you know, most of what I've seen, you know, has us pretty clearly in the field as a 7 or 8 right now. You know, we're going to have a quad 4 at home. We have a quad 2 at George Mason. And we'll likely start Pittsburgh with a quad 2 game. It'll be a top 100 game on a neutral site. So, you know, what I know is, you know, if you go out and you play well and you win the games in front of you, you got a much better chance of getting in than if you lose the games in front of you. And so that's our focus. Play well, stack days, prepare well, try to play our best game of the season, you know, Wednesday night against Loyola, then rinse, repeat, and try to throw our best punch and play as well as we can at George Mason. And then try to get ready and be playing our best basketball heading into the postseason. And, you know, the chips will fall. I mean, all the other stuff, you know, the speculation and who, what, how many you got to win. I think when people, you know, they look at it that way, you know, it's the inverse of how I look at it. You know, we talked to the team about this, you know, attacking success versus fearing failure. You know, like let's just try to win the games in front of us and not worry about all the different hypotheticals of, you know, what might happen if we do this, if we do that, if we whatever. You know, we're in great shape. We control our own destiny to win the league. We control our own destiny to make the NCAA tournament as an at-large team. You know, let's just lock in and attack success and try to win as many games as we can between now and the start of the NCAA tournament.
I'm sure that there will be some emotions flowing on Wednesday. It is senior night, and while you have multiple seniors, Robbie is somebody that's been around with you for a long time. I know this, that no matter what, that crowd has been special. That whole scene there is special. Nelly was in the house last night. I mean, that just the whole atmosphere on Wednesday, I anticipate being incredibly emotional throughout the entire building.
Absolutely. It'll be you know, it'll be an emotional night, I think, for everybody. Obviously, Robbie, you know, 4 years together and you know, the last 2 years here, I think last night, you know, that was his 100th win in college, you know, over the last 4 years. You know, he's changed the trajectory of two different programs. When you look at what he did in you know, in Terre Haute at Indiana State and then coming here to St. Louis, the places that haven't had, you know, such a great history tradition. I think, you know, Indiana State won the regular season. That was the third time in 50-some years. If we're fortunate to do it here, it'd be the third time. you know, his greatness is in a lot of areas, you know, his skill level, but it's in his team orientation. It's how he makes his teammates better. It's how team success matters to him, you know, and I think hopefully the send-off's great. If we win the league, I would assume he'll be the player of the year in the Atlantic 10, and deservedly so. You know, what he's meant to this team and the way he's led this team. And, you know, and so a big night. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to get past all the emotions and play the game. And that's got to be the focus, is trying to win the game, because we know what's at stake in terms of the league and in terms of the NCAA tournament. And so every game here late's magnified, win or lose. And so our whole focus is on, you know, trying to put our best foot forward and be the Loyola team that we know is going to come out, just like every team we've faced here down the stretch, and play their best game of the season against us. We got to be ready to absorb that and throw our own punches and compete inside the game and try to find a way to win a league title. And if we do, be a great night of celebration for not just our team, but our fans, who, as you said, have been amazing for us. And we're not in the position that we're in to have a chance to do what we have a chance to do Wednesday night without our fans. It's not a coincidence. We're 18-0 at home.
Coach, it has been a great experience all around. There is still more to come. Happy March to you. Hope you have a great month.
Best time of year. Can't wait. See you soon, Tom.
See you soon. Josh Schertz with us. Our visit sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more college basketball, but also college hockey, with Jason Coomer, the athletic director at Lindenwood University. Back after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm Brian. I work at United Healthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in United Healthcare.
I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties.
I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine and 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
What a great visit with Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens. What a thrilling win last night for SLU, 91-76. Elsewhere in college basketball, Missouri, they are locked in now, I think. 88-64 win at Mississippi State. Biggest SEC win for them all season. And they've now racked up 10 SEC wins. That really should be the magic number for them. They're 20-9 overall as they hammer the Bulldogs 88-64. A trio of local OVC teams get the job done. SIUE beat Eastern Illinois 77-50. Southeast Missouri State topped Tennessee Tech 89-73. And the Lindenwood Lions go to Macomb and beat Western Illinois. Final of that one was 91-69. And with that, we bring in the athletic director at Lindenwood. Jason Coomer joins us on KMOX. How are you, Jason?
Great, Tom. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely great to have you on. How about the Lions? Not only the men, but the women, both playing high-level basketball this season.
You know, yesterday was a good day for us, you know, starting with our women's program, who going into that game was sitting one game back of the regular season championship. And, you know, being able to go up and hand Western Illinois' women's program their first loss at home this season was great for our young women. And we walked out of Macomb with that program with a co-championship in the OVC. So we're pretty excited about that. And we'll enter the tournament with the two seed based on tiebreakers next week in Evansville, Indiana. And then, you know, game two with the men just came out from the very beginning, was firing on all cylinders and was able to get away with a big win there as well. So anytime you can win on the road, it's a great day.
Jason, the OVC just keeps getting better and better, it seems. And you spent 14 years at SIUE, but with the Cougars, with what's happening down in Cape Girardeau with the Redhawks and Brad Korn and you at Lindenwood, that's some grouping right there that has gotten after it.
You know, when you look at the standings, you know, especially on the men's side, and it was just so jumbled the whole season. It was just so competitive as a league throughout the year. And I think going into Evansville at the conference tournament, you're going to see, you know, multiple teams that could walk out of there with the championship next Saturday. So, you know, the competitive level and just how close the teams have gotten and how they've elevated their programs. You know, certainly the schools you just mentioned are in the mix as well. So, you know, on the men's side, you continue to see that increase and the playing ability, and it just makes it a great atmosphere for the fans, and especially on the women's side as well. You know, you look at our program. You know, 3 years ago we had 7 wins, and then last year we, you know, had a 20-win season with Coach Egan, with one of the largest and the biggest turnarounds in all Division I college basketball on the women's side, and now we're sitting at 24 wins this year. So she's done a phenomenal job with the program. It's going to be an exciting tournament, and we're just ready to get to Evansville.
Oh, we got to call it something, the three of you. You know, the St. Louis Triangle or the – we got something like that. I mean, the three teams that that are making things happen right now, that is a lot of fun. I know that. And just Lindenwood in general – has sparked St. Charles. You know, the population growth in St. Charles over the years, I'm sure, has been a benefit to you, and you've been a benefit to them.
You know, it's St. Charles is just an amazing community. Everywhere you look, there's something being built. There's a crane somewhere, one of the fastest growing counties in the state of Missouri. And really, you know, that's helped us from an attendance standpoint. We've seen some of our largest crowds in history the last couple of years, especially since we've made this move to Division I. So it's been an exciting time. You know, our fans are passionate. They're coming out. And as we continue to build this, you know, we talk a lot in St. Charles that our goal, now that we're out of the reclassification process and fully eligible for Division I NCAA championships, you know, the goal is two words. It's to hang banners. And, you know, that's the mindset we have in our department, and our community is behind us. So it's a you know, ingredients for a lot of success.
Let's talk about this hockey team. I mean, you've been able to spring some upsets over the last couple of years. Now, the United Collegiate Hockey Cup, you're hosting that March 5th through the 7th, Jason.
Yeah, another big event coming up next week. There's a ton of things going on with Lindenwood. And, you know, I think first you got to look back at where this program came from. You know, in 2022, we elevated men's hockey to Division I status. They were a club team before that, coming off a ACHA Club National Championship. And I think that's really important to look back on because, you know, there's not Division II hockey. So There's Division III hockey and Division I hockey. We were neither of those. We were a club team. And to make that jump straight to Division I, when you look at the last couple of years, you know, I often share, you know, would you have ever thought 5 years ago you would hear, you know, the words or see the headline, Lindenwood knocks off Notre Dame, Lindenwood knocks off Wisconsin. And both of those things happened last year with our men's hockey program. And then you fast forward to this year and you look at what we did when we had Denver in here, who won a national championship 2 years ago and was in the Frozen Four last year. And we knocked off number five Denver at the time. So it's an exciting time. We have the United Collegiate Hockey Cup coming up this coming week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Centene Community Ice Center. Games will be at 3 and 7, and these will be the five independent Division I hockey teams that are not part of conference currently in Alaska Anchorage, Alaska Fairbanks, Long Island, Stonehill, and of course, Lindenwood.
That's exciting. And I'll bet that with the United States winning the gold medal, that just raises this hockey community up another level. I mean, you got four St. Louisans out there wearing gold medals, one woman, three men.
You know, it certainly doesn't hurt. You know, the excitement around hockey right now is at an all-time high, or at least an all-time high this year. I mean, hockey's always been, you know, a popular sport, and St. Louis is certainly a hockey town. It was interesting during the gold medal round that weekend. We actually hosted Team USA's national development team, and they played two exhibitions against us out at Centene. We played one game outdoors. We have a rink out there. We have outdoor ice that holds about 2,000, and then our indoor facility holds about 3,000. So you could see the pride in the stands. You know, whether you're a Lindenwood fan or not, you saw USA hockey fans in the facilities both nights. And I'm certainly hopeful that, you know, they'll continue to come out to games and we'll see them this weekend, and they can wear their USA and root for Lindenwood all in the same place.
Well, you got Maryville across the river bubbling over there. They're starting to build something special. This is really something around here. Before we go, a couple of minutes left with Jason Coomer, the AD at Lindenwood. I want to ask you about one of our own, because Greg Amsinger started his career here, and I thought that was pretty cool that he did an event with Ollie and Heim. We just had the Ollie Marmol contract extension earlier this hour on KMOX, that he did an event with the two of them, and my understanding is Greg has more to come.
You know, Greg's he's a Lindenwood treasure, and he's just been a phenomenal supporter of us. He's never forgotten where he came from and his St. Charles roots. And he did come back, and we hosted that Cardinals event, and we had Ollie out here as well. And it was really just a, you know, what I would say, a fireside chat, and it was just very, very well received. And, you know, none of that happens without Greg and his love for Lindenwood, his love for the Cardinals. And, you know, we just, anytime that we have Greg in town, you know, we're just extremely appreciative, and he just continues to support the university as well as the St. Louis community.
How is the Lindenwood football program looking for 2026?
You know, Coach Stewart keeps it rolling, you know, and with this, you know, this day of the transfer portal, you know, we have dabbled in that a little bit. But one of the things that Coach Stewart's really high on is he wants local talent. He wants those best kids in our own backyard coming out to Lindenwood. We have a Division I option for these kids that they can stay home and play high-level football. And, you know, one of the things I'll tell you about Jed is, you know, he certainly, not only is he phenomenal on the field, X's and O's, but, you know, he develops young men, high character, and we do not have a high rate of transfers. You know, we have a very good culture that he's established, and, you know, I think that bodes well for the future. We've continued to improve ever since we got in this Division I landscape, and I don't expect anything different next year. You know, we have a schedule. We'll have SEMO at home, which will be a huge rivalry game and, you know, typically sells very, very well. But I think the future is certainly bright for that program. You know, we don't sneak up on anyone anymore like we did maybe in year one, and that's really a credit to what Coach Stewart's done with building the program.
Good luck with the hockey tournament, the United Collegiate Hockey Cup, March 5th through the 7th at Centene Community Ice Center. Jason Coomer, the AD at Lindenwood, a treat to have you on the air. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Tom. You have a great rest of your day.
You too. We'll preview City's game tonight, the Cardinals. We'll also hear from Chris Blair and Heim Bloom. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
I'm Brian. I work at UnitedHealthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in UnitedHealthcare.
I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties.
I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.